Well, once again, whoever doesn't know me, my name's Pastor Paul. I'm one of two pastors here at Submerged Church. Bob's here as well, one of our deacons, Don. And we just, on behalf of the leadership team of Submerged Church, we extend a very warm welcome to you this morning. We'll have the scripture reading for today. That's going to be out of 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 14. And then, so I'll read that. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their land, their sin, and heal their land. And then out of Joel 1:14, consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. And then Joel 2, verses 12 through 13. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. If we can keep that verse up for a minute. So any of you that, if you've got those friends or associates or whatever you want to call them that say, well, the God of the Old Testament was just a God of wrath, and then he grew up and matured and became a loving God in the New Testament. Well, guess what? This is straight from the minor prophets of the Old Testament. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, folks. He doesn't change. He has always been a just God. He has always been merciful and full of steadfast love. So that's the scripture reading for today, which we'll get into. And then I just wanted to take some time right now to highlight that today is Repentance Sunday. Anybody know that? The only reason I knew that is because of my dear sister Jody over here. She's keeping me on top of all these things. But today is Repentance Sunday, and just to give you a little bit about it, this was actually decided in July when God called called 50 church leaders throughout our nation to gather weekly for confession, repentance, and prayers for revival. And over 7 weeks, they sought God and were humbled and strengthened, resolved to put aside all strategies for societal renewal except the powerful move of God. So today, just to tell you a little bit more about it, so on Sunday, September 27th, today, we're joining with thousands of churches throughout America in dedicating a time for prayers of repentance and revival during this Sunday gathering. This solemn assembly is being called, God bless you, sister, is being called in response to continued division, destruction, and degradation taking place throughout our land. We desire to follow God's admonition that during severely difficult times, his people repent and return. Only then may we expect him to hold off judgment or return blessing to the land. This is also inspired by the Old Testament that calls sacred assemblies, just like we saw from the prophet Joel. And today also marks the beginning of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement in the Jewish calendar. So this is one of the most sacred days of the year for the Jewish community, and it's an opportunity as the Christian church to practice what Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 require, a return to our first love, seeking forgiveness of our personal and corporate sins. And actually, the message today is going to be on this very topic. So everything that we're going to be talking about today is going to be about repentance. It's going to be about revival. It's going to be about humbling ourselves before the Lord. So I'll just take some time now to pray corporately on behalf. And then if we have time at the end of the message, I'm hoping to allow some time, some moments of silence for each of us just to repent of personal sins and turn our hearts back to the Lord. So let's go ahead and pray together on this Repentance Sunday. Father in heaven, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We claim no righteousness of our own. Our righteousness comes only through Jesus' blood, which was shed to wash away our sins. Father, we are praying to you and seeking your face. We make no excuse for our sins. We confess it and we turn from it. You have wonderfully blessed our nation, but we've forgotten you and gone our own way. We've mocked you in our entertainment, excluded you from our children's education, and rebelled against your holy moral commandments. Even our churches have become more interested in catering to our feelings than in worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for our selfishness, our rejection of your truth, our shedding of innocent blood, and for celebrating what you say is sinful and goes against your design for marriage. Forgive us for ways we have prevented others from attaining the promise of America because of the color of their skin. Father, come heal our land. Heal us of anger, bitterness, and a spirit of hatred. Heal us from the scourge of drugs, alcohol, poverty, pornography, broken families. Heal us from the diseases that afflict our bodies, our souls, and our families. Restore to our people and to our leaders a deep desire to please you in all things. Fill our land with righteousness, justice, peace, and the knowledge of the Lord. Revive our land. Revive our churches. Revive each of us right here. Lord, we pray you pour out a spirit of wisdom and courage upon our presidents, upon our senators, upon the Supreme Court nominee right now, Amy Barrett. Lord, we pray blessings on her. Lord, we pray for our congressmen, our judges, governors, mayors, all public officials. Lord, we especially pray a mighty anointing will come back upon our church leaders as they lead this nation back to you. In Jesus' name, we repent, we pray, amen. Amen. Well, today, the title of the message, as you guys have seen, is Recipe for Revival. Recipe for Revival, right? And I know a lot of us have, at some time, we've had a dish that we really liked at somebody's house, or somebody made this, oh man, that dessert was amazing. Can I get the recipe for that? Like, we love telling others about good food, right? And then it's like, okay, here's how you do it. And that's going to be one of the points I'll get to, is that I'm going to tell you right now, as we hear this recipe for revival, we need to take this recipe and tell others about it and tell people, this is a great recipe. You should try it out. So just keep that in the back of your mind as we go through this morning. So I already introduced myself, so we'll go over that. We continue on an unprecedented time in our history, with more and more intense situations changing every day. As the prophet Joel said in Joel 1 and 2, "Hear this, you elders, give ear, all inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in our days, or in the days of your fathers?" Kind of feel like that now. Has such a thing happened? That's kind of how we're feeling right now. So the COVID-19 chaos, with its many consequences, continues. Mask mandates are being drafted for the city of Fargo as we speak. I don't know if you guys knew that as of Monday. In our, well, not my mayor, because I live in West Fargo, but the mayor, Tim Mahoney, was the deciding vote, 3-2, to even draft a mask mandate. High school and middle school students in Fargo, as of October 5th, will be going back to level 2 distance learning with limited instruction. The elementary students will remain, for now, in level 3 hybrid instruction. According to recent data, on September 11th, from the SPRC, suicidal ideation among young people, listen to this, has increased since last year. A national survey found about 25% of people ages 18 to 24 had seriously considered suicide in the last 30 days. Protests have reignited once again with the results of the Breonna Taylor case. Police officers are being shot. Our dear brother, Nick, the reason he's not with us right now is because he is on a walk from Fargo to Grand Forks to raise awareness for police appreciation. There was a protest yesterday, again, that started in Island Park and I think ended up at the police station, mostly for this Breonna Taylor case, but then from some inside information from one of the police officers, they told Nick, one of the reasons they're marching is because of you. They found out that you're doing a walk from Fargo to Grand Forks in honor of police, and they weren't happy about that. That's what's happening, folks, right in our own city. A Supreme Court justice seat is up for nomination right now, as we talked about. And one of the biggest elections in our history, perhaps the biggest in our lifetimes, is just over 5 weeks away. If you are in Christ and you have not yet heard the call of our Lord to humble yourself and pray and seek him and turn from your wicked ways, then today, right now, is the day for a revival in your soul. I want to share this recipe for revival for which all of us need to start gathering the ingredients. So I'm just going to pray one more time that our Lord speaks to us today. Father, we humbly come before you. Lord, we need you in this hour more than ever. Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. We seek your face. God, I pray right now against distractions. I pray we'd have open ears. I pray we'd have attentive minds. I pray we would have soft hearts. Spirit, I pray that we would hear what you want to speak to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the big idea for today, if you remember anything, well, hopefully you remember more than just this, but is revival now. Revival now. It's on the back of your bulletin, but that is the big idea. We need revival now, right now. Yesterday, oh my goodness, I better not even start talking about that or I'm going to get way sidetracked. It was incredible. If you guys didn't get a chance to participate in some of the return, I'm assuming you can go back and watch some of those video clips, thereturn.org. It's been a long time since I have wept in repentance, really experienced the Spirit's presence in worship. I mean, even remotely, you know, it was just incredible. So I just really encourage those who missed that to check out some of that from the return. Okay, so I'm going to start with kind of going back and forth. I was just really wrestling what to speak about. And as the week went on, God slowly started revealing more and more things to me, and just incredible. So I'm going to start by, I'm going to jump back and forth between 2 Chronicles 6 and 7, and then Joel 1 and 2. So a lot of this won't be up on the screen because it would have just been too much. So I'm just going to go through some of those passages. If you want to try to follow along with me, you sure can. It'll be kind of hard to keep up with me. But yeah, so right now I'm going to start out at 2 Chronicles 6, verse 28. I'm going to highlight some of the key words that really stuck out to me. And then I'm going to go to Joel. I think you'll be as astonished as I was at some of the parallels between these two passages. So this is going to be a real quick highlight. Okay, so 2 Chronicles 6, verse 20, starting in verse 26. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain because they have sinned against you. No rain. Jump to verse 28. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence or blight or mildew or locust or caterpillar, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is. Okay, so those are some of the words that jumped out to me in 2 Chronicles 6. Now if we jump to Joel chapter 1, starting in verse 4, it says, what the cutting locust has left, the swarming locust has left, the hopping locust has left, destroying locust has left. I didn't know there was so many kinds of locusts. The locust, okay? And then, awake you drunkards, lament like a virgin, verse 8. Verse 10, the fields are destroyed, wine dries up. Verse 12, the vine dries up, all the trees of the field are dried up, and gladness dries up from the children of man. Gladness dries up. No hope. Suicide. The gladness has dried up. Okay? And then we jump to verse 14. Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders, cry out to the Lord. Verse 19, to you, O Lord, I call, for the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The flame has burned all the trees of the field. Joel 2, verse 3, fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. Okay, so there's a lot going on here, people. There's no rain, there's fire, there's famine, pestilence, locusts, plague, a lot of bad stuff. Well, guess what? I started doing some research, and I was, well, not entirely surprised, but it was pretty amazing the things that I came across. Let's have that first picture come up, Charlton. Well, of course, we know, everyone knows all about this. We've got pestilence, yep, and it's still here. This is the global numbers through the 15th of September. Everybody's heard enough about that, and I don't say that lightly. I know there's people dying from COVID. It's sad, but yes, we've got a plague going around. There's no doubt about that. There's pestilence. Okay, next slide. Look at this. The U.S. is in a drought. This is as of September 22nd. As you can see, according to the chart here, so. You know, the yellow means it's abnormally dry, okay? So as you can see, at least half or more of the country is in some level of drought. And then if you can see there where the orange is, that severe drought, the red is extreme drought, and then very dark red is exceptional drought. And as you can see there, probably about a third of the United States is in, you know, pretty considerable drought. So I just thought that was interesting. Next slide. Locusts. So this is from March of 2020, just this year. Hundreds of billions of locusts are swarming through East Africa, Iran, Pakistan, in the worst plague for a quarter of a century, threatening crops and livelihoods. I even saw some articles that said this is a biblical plague of locusts. Okay, I mean, look at that. That's, ugh. Okay, and as you can see here, here's the countries that it's covering, you know, calm. These are caution, threat. And then there was a different, oh yeah, here's the key for that. So the red is like swarms of locusts. You know, see, these are like highly concentrated swarms of locusts in all these areas. So we've got locusts, people. Okay, next slide. And we all know about this, the California fires. Okay, so this information is for September 8th. So wildfires in California have torched a record more than 809,371 hectares. Did I say that right? Hectares? Okay, yeah. 809,371 hectares in uncontrolled blaze, forcing many residents to flee their homes. Okay, and then this is a quote. In the past 33 years, we have not seen a single year go over 800,000 hectares until this year, said California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection spokesman Lynn Tolmikoff. This is definitely record-breaking, and we have not even come close to the end of the fire season yet. That's what's going on the West Coast. Even my own sister-in-law, who lives in Medford, Oregon, had to evacuate her apartment temporarily because they weren't sure exactly which way these fires were going to go. Thankfully, the apartment is still standing, right, hon? Yeah, and she got to go back, but it's crazy. Okay, and then this last side. Slide. So once again, as I quoted earlier, one out of four young adults ages 18 to 24 have seriously considered suicide in the last 30 days. Now listen to this. And these statistics vary depending on your source. 20 to 22 veterans are committing suicide every day in our country. Every day. Between 2005 and 2017, there were 78,875 veterans who committed suicide. There were fewer U.S. military fatal casualties of the Vietnam War at 58,220. So more people, more veterans have died from suicide between 2005 and 2017 than all of the U.S. soldiers that died in Vietnam. This is unacceptable. This is wrong. I mean, and it'd be easy to point fingers, but, you know, we as a church, what are we doing to reach out and help these people in need? So that's kind of the bad news in correlation with what's going on today. Well, let's highlight some of the better things. So I'm going to jump back to 2 Chronicles 6. This is verse 30. It says, yep, and stretching out his hands toward his house, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive and render to each whose heart you know according to all his ways, for you only know the hearts of the children of mankind. that they may fear you and walk in your ways all the days. Verse 38, if they repent with all their mind and with all their heart, okay? And then jump over to Second Chronicles 7, verse 3, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever, amen? And then we jump down to verse 14, and we kind of went through this already, but you know, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, he will hear and forgive and heal. Okay, and then now let's jump back to Joel 1 verse 2. We're going to do some parallels to what I just said there. So Joel 1, 2, hear this, O elders, give ear, all inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in your days or in the days of your fathers? Put on sackcloth, consecrate a fast. This is verse 14. Call a solemn assembly, gather the other, cry out to the Lord. Okay, and then we jump to verse 12 of Joel 2. So Joel 2, verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in, there it is again, steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. And then look at verse 23. This is encouraging to me, especially for those with suicide. Now remember it. Remember in Joel 1:12, it says, and gladness dries up from the children of man. Okay, their gladness has dried up. Well, look at what God will promise us in Joel 2, verse 23, when we give our hearts back to him. Be glad. He's like, let your gladness return. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you an early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain. The early and the latter rain is before. He wants to refresh our souls. He wants to give hope to the hopeless. The Lord wants our hearts. He wants us to return. He wants to lavish his steadfast love on us. But each of us has a part to play. If we want to see revival in Christ Church, Pastor Shane Eidelman of Westside Christian Fellowship in California said this in a message just last Sunday, September 20th, a week ago. He said, before revival ignites a nation, it first ignites a group of people. Let revival begin now with this group of people right here. And now for the meat of the message, the recipe for revival. So here's the ingredients for the recipe for revival. I'd encourage you to at least write down these main points. I'll have verse references, etc. So the first one, we have to hear God's call. We have to hear it. We have to hear God's call. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, well, what good is the call if you're not listening? God is speaking to us through current circumstances. Are you listening? If you don't think that God is calling out to his church right now, then you need to wake up. That's a whole sermon topic in and of itself. I gave a sermon on that. It's my sermon entitled Listen from May 17th. And it was a raw recording at our old location, video recording, actually. We have it on YouTube. If you're interested in listening to listen, I'd be happy to give you the secret unlisted YouTube link. So just send me a text or an email, and I can share that link with you. But that'd be a good sermon in of itself. Just, okay, how do we listen? How do we listen? We need to listen. Okay, ingredient number two, believe God's call is the truth. We have to believe it's the truth. Secular humanism today would say there is no truth. Or, each person can have their own truth. Well, guess what? Not so with God. 2 Samuel 7:28. Now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your servants. Okay? Satan has been trying to get us to doubt God's word from the beginning. It's literally the oldest trick in the good book, isn't it? Let's jump back to Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say? Did he really say? And then he goes on to misquote God. He didn't even quote exactly what God said. You know, so first there's doubt, and then there's half-truth or truth mixed in with alterations. Sound like anything that might be happening today? Sound like anything that might have happened in the rise of the Third Reich in Germany? Slowly indoctrinating, slowly causing doubts. Is there really a God? Oh, that's just a fairy tale. Okay? That's what Satan tries to do. It's the number one attack, is to get us to doubt God's truth. Jesus, of course, is truth. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Christians, it's okay. I'm going to give you permission to believe that, yes, there is good and there is evil. There is right and there is wrong. There is truth and there are lies. It's okay to believe that. We need to stop believing the lies of the world and start clinging to God's truth. And I know some of you have probably heard this analogy before, but it's been said that people whose job is to discover counterfeit money, do you know what they do? They study the real thing all day long. You get a $100 bill, they study it, they look at it, they smell it, they feel it, they look at it under different lights, and they know so well what a real $100 bill looks like, as soon as they hold a counterfeit one, something's wrong. They recognize it immediately. We don't need to study all the hollow and deceptive philosophies out there. I think it's good to be aware of what's going on, what's being circulated, but it's more important for us to be spending lots and lots and lots of time studying God's truth. And we know it so well, we can quote it just like Jesus. It is written, it is written, it is written. We don't have to sit and pull out our Bible app and, oh, what does God say about this topic? It's like, no, it just comes right out of your mouth. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. We just have to know it. We have to know it. Number three, third recipe for revival. Place our trust in God and not our fears. Okay, so first we have to hear God's call. We have to be listening. Secondly, we have to believe that what he's saying is the truth. And then when we believe that, then we can place our trust in him. Place our trust in God, not our fears. Isaiah 30:15. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. That word returning could also be translated repenting. Okay, returning, repenting, okay? For those who were in the study this last Wednesday, when Richard Wurmbrand, Lutheran pastor, Jewish heritage, started Voice of the Martyrs, when Richard Wurmbrand was kidnapped by communist police from off the streets of Bucharest, Romania on February 29th, 1948, leap year, he was reminded that there are 366 verses in the Bible that remind us, do not fear. One for every day of the year, even a leap year. And what verse came to his mind? Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Can we get that up? When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. You know, I was so touched because I had been meditating on this verse, you know, throughout the COVID chaos in my daily office times. And then I went on a prayer walk to Rendezvous Park, which is not too far from our house. You know, there's a nice big lake there, fake lake, but it's still a lake. The geese are hanging around on it and leaving their signs. Anyway, then I went up to one of the benches and there was a note card just sitting on the bench, little index card, and it had this verse on it. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, Psalm 56:3. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, that there are other people in this city that are trying to encourage everybody during this difficult time. I was so encouraged, and I left it there so someone else would find it, because I already had it right here. I didn't need the card, but it was good to see it. It was good to see it. When we are living, Christians, listen to this, when we are living in a state of fear, and we don't bring that fear to the Lord, That means we are not trusting God with our fears. If we don't trust God, he won't use us to bring glory to himself. Just like Gideon's men. Okay, whoever's afraid, go ahead and leave. And 2/3 of the army left. Okay? God doesn't want to use people that are living in a constant state of fear. We need to give those fears to him. We need to trust him. Is it okay to be afraid? Absolutely. Have I been afraid of what could happen to my family in the days to come? Absolutely. But I give it to God. He loves them way more than I do. I just have to trust. He's going to take care of them no matter what happens to me. We have to give those fears to him. I want to share this devotional. So this is from Jesus Calling, 365 Devotions for Kids by Sarah Young. There's an adult version as well. But this is from January 4th, a New Habit. And I just want to encourage you guys with this, just a short little devotional. The verse is Isaiah 40, verse 11. The Lord takes care of his people like a shepherd. He gathers the people like lambs in his arms. He carries them close to him. He gently leads the mothers of the lambs. You moms out there. Okay, and now, as I'm speaking now, you're supposed to listen to it in a way that it's Jesus who's talking. Okay, so just humor me. I'm far from Jesus. I know that. My wife will tell you. Just pretend Jesus is speaking right now, okay? Everyone has habits. Some are good, and some are not so good. Starting today, I want you to learn a new habit. Try saying, I trust you, Jesus. No matter what is happening around you, choose to remember that I am in control of the universe and that I love you with a love that is higher than any mountain and deeper than any ocean. By saying, I trust you, Jesus, you are saying that you know I am in control of all things and that nothing can defeat me. It is then that fear loses its grip on you. So when you are facing tough times, trust me to guide you through them and use them to grow your faith. Trusting me is a habit you won't ever want to break. Oh, I just love that. So, many of her devotions are along similar themes, just really spending time with Jesus, being still before him, listening to him, fearing him. So once again, that was the January 4th devotion, A New Habit from Jesus Calling for Kids by Sarah Young. Okay, ingredient number 4. Got to keep going here. Okay, ingredient number 4, humble ourselves. We need to have a humble heart. Humble heart. I used some homiletics there. Humble heart, 2 H's. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, okay? So we've heard God's call. We've believed that it's true. We've now put our trust in God because it's kind of hard to humble yourself before someone you don't trust, right? You got to trust God. But now, we need to humble ourselves before him. We need to humble ourselves before him. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, God wants our hearts. Did I say that before? We need to hear it. God wants our hearts. Joel 2, verse 12 and 13. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. See, people to show back in these days that they were fasting, weeping, mourning, they'd rip their garments, okay? God says, no, don't rip your garments. Rip your heart for me. Rip your heart. Break your heart so that I can mend it. Okay, that's what he wants us to do. He wants our hearts. 1 Peter 5:5-6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now listen to this, and I know I've preached on this before, that word. God opposes, the Greek word there is antitasso. Antitasso means to set oneself against. So another way you could read this, God sets himself against the proud. How many of you would like to step into the boxing ring with God? I can tell you who's going to win right now. I will put all my money on God. He will win. He'll beat you. Okay? All right. So God sets himself against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He can't resist a humble heart. Oh, he loves that. And being a parent, I'm starting to understand that more. You know, because we talk to our kids, and when I question them, you know, there's something, Mom, Dad, this happened, blah, blah, blah. And I go try to find it out, and a lot of times, well, I was, and there's this big, long story. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But every once in a while, we'll be interrogating the children, and right away, like, what? You know, I'll ask, what happened? Well, I was being careless, and I hit James on the head. I'm like, oh, thank you. Just a simple, humble, and they'll say, I'm sorry right away. You know what happens when that happens? Like, rarely will I actually even give them a discipline. I'm like so delighted that they just told me the truth and humbled themselves right away. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you for telling me that. Let's be, you know, it's just a delight. So I can't imagine how delighted God is when we come before him with a humble heart. Number five, the fifth ingredient, we need to pray. Persistent prayer. Oh my goodness, people. 2 Chronicles 7:14 again. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So yeah, and actually all of point five, yeah, I put these two together because I it's kind of the all in one category in my opinion. So pray, persistent prayer, and seek holy hunger. Okay? So we need to pray, persistent prayer, and seek holy hunger. Okay? God is moved by our prayers, 2 Samuel 24:25. Thus the Lord was moved by prayer for the land, and the plague was held back from Israel. God is moved. You guys remember the story where Moses said, Lord, please relent your anger. Don't destroy this nation. And he relented. You remember when Abraham was bargaining with God? Oh, Lord, if you could find 50 people, how about if you find 40? You know, would you please not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And he whittled them all the way down to 10. But then they couldn't even find 10 righteous people. But God responds to our prayers. So my question to you is, what are our prayer lives like? Do we really believe that God responds to our prayers? And if we do, how much do we pray? Do we really believe that God responds? If you believe that and you're not praying very much, then you don't really believe it. Because if we believe it, we act on it. We need to be praying, Christians. It was so good to be here yesterday with so many people crying out in repentance during the return. Praying for revival. Okay, seek. Let's look at this real quickly. So seek. This is having a holy hunger. So in this category, I would include silence, stillness, solitude, fasting. Here's a question. How often do we practice these disciplines? Do we ever practice these disciplines? Joel 1:14 says, consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly and cry out to the Lord. So what if it said, let's consecrate a feast, a potluck, okay? Chick-fil-A's catering, and it's going to be great. Well, we'd probably have a lot more people coming, right? But consecrate a fast, we don't get too excited about that, do we? My goodness. But Christians, oh my. And of course, I knew I was going to be preaching on this Sunday, so I'm like, man, I better be practicing what I'm preaching. So, and of course, Jesus tells us not to be telling people when we're fasting, so I won't tell you how much I did, but I did fast this week. I have to tell you guys, in denying the flesh, and is eating wrong? No, God designed our bodies. We need to have these energy. But when we deny our flesh of these things that our flesh needs, it starts craving God more. And yesterday, I can't even tell you how being in corporate worship and prayer for 5.5 hours and having been fasting, how loudly I could hear God's voice, just in even that short amount of time of denying my flesh. It was incredible. So I just encourage you, Christians, there's great benefits of fasting, even physical benefits. Our bodies get cleansed of toxins, and yeah, it hurts. I mean, try going the next week without coffee. A lot of us, man, we're going to have headaches. Well, it's because your body's detoxing. You know, we eat all this processed food and drink caffeine and all this stuff. And, you know, all these things in moderation are fine. But, you know, when we fast, oh, my goodness, there's healing that happens. People with arthritis, it starts going away. Cancer starts shrinking. You know, cancer feeds off sugar. But when we fast, it gives our bodies a chance to reset and heal. So, I mean, there's so many benefits. Anyway, Joel 2:12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Seeking God takes great sacrifice. It takes inward reflection and soft hearts that emotionally express the repentance of sins. When was the last time you wept over your sin? The last time you mourned? Yesterday, when I'd... Oh, that's Pastor Shane Eidelman. Wow. I recognize that voice. Yesterday, it had been a while for me, but yesterday I wept a couple of times just recognizing my own sin and the sin of this nation. We need to do this. We need to do this, Christians. Prayer and seeking Him. Okay, number six. We got to zip through the rest of these. Okay, number six. We've been talking about this today. Today's Repentance Sunday. We have to turn. So radical repentance. Once again, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Okay? So repent is to be walking one way and then you turn and you go the other way. That's what it means to repent. So if you're going down that path of sin, you need to stop, do a 180, and start going the other way. That's what repenting is. Okay, that's what repenting is. And you go the other way, back to God. God wants us to return, like the event yesterday, the return. Joel 2:12-13, this was part of the scripture reading. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He relents over disaster. Now listen to this. Contrary to what some people believe, when we repent of our sin and return to the Lord, he isn't waiting with a stick to beat us and tell us how awful we are. His steadfast love is waiting for us. He wants to refresh us. Look at Acts 3:19-20 here. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How many of you feel like right now, man, I could really use just some times of refreshing, like a week by myself sitting on a beach or whatever, you know? Well, guess what? When we repent, God refreshes us. He refreshes us. And lastly, 7, we need to preach God's word. So this is the last ingredient. And like I talked about at the beginning, when you've got a good recipe, you want to share that recipe with others, right? Okay, so this is the 7th ingredient. We need to preach God's word. We need to sound the alarm as God's watchman and tell other people about what we just talked about today. Guys, there's so much at stake in this country. I mean, we need to wake up. I mean, the potential outcomes of what could happen with the election are unfathomable, okay? We need to be ready. We need to start sounding the alarm. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. That patience one, that's a tough one for me. I know all the rest of you have perfect patience, but I'm still working on it. Ezekiel 33:1-7 talks about the watchman. I don't have time to read all of that, but you guys know if the watchman sees danger coming, he sees the sword, he sounds the alarm, people don't respond, their blood's on their own heads. But if he sees danger coming and says nothing and people are slayed by the sword, the blood's on his head. Christians, don't be a watchman or the blood will be on your head. We need to warn people. We need to sound the alarm. Yesterday, I never heard so many shofars going off in my life, so I'm going to sound the alarm right now. This is a didgeridoo, but it'll work. There's my trumpet alarm. Danger's coming. Prepare yourself. And then we'll close real briefly. This is kind of a review from when we went through One Cry. So here's the cycle of spiritual awakening. We got worship and mission at the top. We're not there. If you want to disagree, that's fine, but you're wrong. in this country, anyway. Decline. I think we're past that. Discipline, judgment. Yep, I think that's where we're at, Christians. That's where we're at. And if we don't cry out, God will release his judgment. He will. We must cry out. But if we do cry out, if this revival among believers, and I was encouraged by what I saw yesterday in Washington, D.C. This could be the direction, okay? And then, of course, and then there's awakening among unbelievers. We want to see people saved, right? We want to see a latter rain, okay? And then we're back to where we're supposed to be with worship and mission. But all throughout history, you guys have seen it throughout the Old Testament, this is what happens. Israel, they fall away, they rebel, they go their own way. God brings his judgment, they cry out, oh, and then he relents and he heals. And okay, so that's the cycle. And then lastly, here's six revival realities. A spiritual awakening is the visible invasion of the king and his kingdom. National awakenings begin with personal reviving. That's how they start. Each of us as individuals. God's judgments are his necessary tools to bring us to desperation. Your humble cry makes a difference. A united cry is uniquely irresistible to God. And I've told so many people, I've told Pastor Dave, others, I'm just so delighted at seeing what God has been doing, uniting Submerge with Calvary, bringing us together. It's a delight, it's an honor, and God sees that and he blesses it. He commands his blessing on unity amongst Christians. And number six, God can save us now. This can happen. Christians. So once again, the big idea for today is revival now. We need revival now. We're going to pray and sing one last song. Musicians, you guys can come up. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Lord, I pray that we'd take to heart everything that we heard today. Jesus, we know you're coming. I pray that we wouldn't be caught sleeping when you come back. Lord, I pray that we would start sounding the alarm to our friends, to the lost, to other Christians, Lord, that are just being lulled to sleep by Satan's lullaby in this country. Lord, we just pray that we would be bold in sharing your truth. Father, I pray that there would be revival that would happen in each of our hearts today, that it would happen now. We humbly come before you, Lord. We repent of our sins. We pray that you would go forth and bless us this day, Father. Pray this in Jesus' name. Okay, go ahead and stand up. We're going to sing one last song.